This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter. And I want to pick up where we left off. We didn't get through all the verses that I wanted to this morning, ran out of time. So I want to look at the last four verses of chapter 1 that we read this morning. It's not the last four verses of chapter 1. It's verses 8 through 11. 8 through 11. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to understand how we are to approach the characteristics that we are to work at in our lives as your children and to see the importance of them. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting. We looked at the building blocks of growing strong and more like Christ this morning. And there's a real purpose in us doing this. It's that, number one, as we talked about this morning, we reflect the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because as we develop each of these characteristics that the apostle talked to us about this morning, which, just to review and go over them quickly, that we are to build upon our faith, and we're to add virtue to our faith, knowledge to our virtue, temperance to our knowledge, patience to our temperance, godliness to our patience, brotherly kindness to our godliness, and charity, that is, unconditional love to our brotherly kindness. And these are to be the growth that should be occurring in our life as a believer that should be evidenced to people. Now, it's going to be evidenced in another way, in that every one of us is called to bear fruit. And here he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is it that we're not to be barren and we are to be fruitful for in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, let's look at a couple of these words. First of all, the concept of barren, not being barren. Barren, you think of, you hear a woman who is trying to conceive a child and she's barren. She cannot bear a child. She can't get pregnant. Well, that is an evidence of barrenness, but the word barren really means, it means inactive, idle, slow, lazy, useless. A woman who cannot bear a child and desperately wants to have a child, her barrenness makes her desire for a family almost unbearable. And there's, in that case, there's really nothing that she can do about it because of whatever the circumstance may be. But in our spiritual life, there is something we can do about it. We can be transformed, and the things that we are studying this morning are the things that we are to do if we're not to be barren. There are a lot of Christians, one of the things that, as you look at our culture, what has happened in America? What has happened to the church in America? I remember when I was a young boy, my mom and dad, we would go to church camps. And these church camps would be held, they had a camp out by New Rockford, and it would be for, it wasn't the camping like going to church camp where your kids go or the teenage kids go, but these would be family camp get-togethers where they'd have a series of speakers come in. What would be similar today would be like we're having this spring in May, where we're going to have three men come in, and we're going to hold a conference, and they're going to speak for a couple days. Well, they have these gatherings where they have preachers that would come from all over. Christians would come from all over. They'd be taught the Word of God. They'd sing hymns and praise the Lord. It'd be a time of great fellowship, but it'd also be a time of people being challenged to commit their lives to the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And these were commonplace when I was young. Today, especially in our part of the world, we don't see them at all. I think they still have some of them down south. But it's become something that's less common. The focus at the camps was always God. It was focusing on the Lord. It was not focusing on people. Well, what we have today in the churches is a focus on people and not on God. And the seeker-friendly church movement came in, and the emergent church movement came in, and at the center of both of these movements is a turning away from God and the authority of His Word and focusing on the Lord and seeking to become more Christ-like to satisfying and meeting people's needs, whatever those needs are. And, for example, the seeker-friendly movement, one of the things they do to tell you how to grow a church, they'd come in here and they'd say, you want to grow this church? What you need to do is go out door to door in your neighborhood, ask what they want in a church, what they want to see there, what they want to have. What types of activities, what types of groups, what types of organizations, what types of entertainment, what types of teaching. And it has nothing to do with the Bible and what the Bible says on how you're supposed to grow a church. Because the Bible talks about the Word of God being preached, that the Lord will add onto you daily, that people will come in and they'll desire to know Christ, they'll give their life to the Lord and grow in His knowledge and truth. Well, what we're seeing is the impact of turning away from making the church focusing on the Lord to make it focusing on men is it has become barren in our culture. And we've, in a lot of ways, the church is ineffectual. We have no impact on the lives of people the way that the church once did in America. And a lot of it's because the way we as Christians approach the Scriptures and approach our walk with the Lord. We see no importance in doing the things that we studied this morning, of developing these characteristics in our life through the power of God's Spirit and by the help of the Lord, which Peter says He would give us, which we studied last week. So, how do we become unbarren? Well, He tells us right here. If we want to be useful instead of useless, if we want to be that which is active instead of being inactive, if we want to be not lazy but energetic, and as we saw this morning, to be truly seeking to follow the Lord zealously and desiring to accomplish His will and purposes, then what we need to be doing is looking to Christ and seeking to have Him develop these characteristics in our life, because that will lead to us being not barren. Peter says, for these things be in you and abound, that is, they're in great abundance, they're in your life greatly. People can see the evidence of these characteristics in your life. He says, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren, that is, idle or useless, nor unfruitful. So, if we're idle or useless, we're not going to bear fruit. But if we're seeking to be used by God, we will bear fruit. Jesus tells us that He desires to work through us and that we become fruit bearers. That each one of us would be used by Him to touch lives for the gospel. When Jesus left the disciples and He gave them what we refer to as the Great Commission, it wasn't just given to those apostles, but it was given to them to give to everyone who came after them. We were told to go into the whole world with the gospel. So that means wherever you're at, if you're in He speaks of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem was where the disciples were. That is where they had spent a lot of their time when they walked with Jesus. The two places they spent were Jerusalem and Capernaum. Those were the two main headquarters they had. They were in Jerusalem during the feast times, and when Jesus would go down there for the feast or go down to the temple. And they were in Capernaum in the Galilee region when they weren't in Jerusalem. They're two main areas. So he told them, start out in Jerusalem. Start out at the center of the closest to you. And then go to Judea. Judea would be Capernaum. That would be Galilee region. That would be the outer portions around Jerusalem. And then he says, and into Samaria, which is would be the northern, what would be to the what they call the West Bank today in Israel. Go to Samaria, to a portion of the world where they had some knowledge of the Word of God, but they had a perverted knowledge because they had combined it with paganism. And he said, but take it to the Samaritans and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're to take it wherever we're at, and we're to take the gospel. Now, what are we to do with that? You were to take it out there and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share who Christ was. And when we develop these characteristics in our life that we looked at this morning, we will be drawn closer to God, become more like Christ. We'll have knowledge of the Word, because knowledge is one of the things that we were to build into our life, so that we will understand what we are to share, and we'll share it with great desire and earnestness and a real hunger to see people come to Christ. As we do that, then is when God will work in people's lives. Because he said in Romans, it talks about the fact that how shall they be saved unless the preacher is sent out, unless the word goes forth. Because the word is that which touches people's hearts and opens their understanding that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And we in turn are also called not just to be evangelists or to share the gospel, but we're also called to help disciple those that come to Christ. You, as an individual, you probably say, well, I don't have any teaching, formal teaching. I can't disciple. I can't counsel. I haven't gone to school for those things. Well, guess what? If you study God's Word, you are an ample, you will amply be able to teach and counsel people in the things of how they are to live, how they are to grow, how they are to work in the kingdom of God and grow in their own Christian life. But you have to be in the Word of God yourself. So these are things that are fruit that we will bear if we allow these things to happen in our life, allow God to work in our life to build these building blocks of Christian character and Christ-like character in our lives. Are maturing in the believer result in a couple other things. First of all, not being barren. Second of all, not that we will not be unfruitful, that is without fruit, but we'll be being used to birth spiritual children and manifesting and using our spiritual gifts for the glory of God and the purpose of edifying the body of Christ and helping people to grow in their own walk. Then he says, but he that hath lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He that lacketh what things? Well, the things that he's lacking are what we've studied this morning again, that he's lacking diligence in his Christian life. He's lacking faith and virtue. He's lacking knowledge and temperance. He's lacking patience and godliness. He's lacking brotherly love or brotherly kindness and charity or love. And when we are lacking those things, what happens is he is blind and cannot see afar off. Now, what does that mean? He's blind. Well, there's a lot of Christians today, and they think the biggest need in our nation is a political solution to our moral problem. Now, a political solution in some ways could help, and I'm for electing men who are godly in their attitudes and godly in their decision-making and are Christians in their relationship with the Lord. I'm all for that, but that's not the solution. The solution is to a spiritual problem is to bring a spiritual answer. And what happens is if we take our eyes off of what we studied this morning and place them upon worldly solutions to what appear to be problems that only the world can solve, when really they're problems only God can solve, we become blinded to the real issues. There's a lot of Christians today that are blinded to the fact that the real issue is we as Christians need to start sharing the gospel and living our lives in such a manner that people see Jesus in us and that our words bear credence. And so we need not to be blind. The nation of Israel, it thought it had all the spiritual answers, but they were blind. They couldn't see their own need. Their own need, they were doing much like we are doing in America today. They were trying to marry religion, a belief in God, with politics to bring about a political solution to problems. And so you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were making political alliances with the Romans to accomplish what they thought were ends, to give them power, and then they gained power in leading the people. The Pharisees led them in what they thought was a good interpretation of the Scriptures when they didn't even understand who Jesus was and why He came. He was the Messiah, and the Sadducees were saying, we've got a political solution where we can maintain the temple worship and still have, but they didn't understand what the temple worship was all about because they didn't even believe the Bible. They were blinded. When we don't understand that we are to be being conformed to the image of Jesus, becoming more Christ-like in our character, allowing all these things to develop in our lives as we diligently seek after God, we will be blind to our own condition and a blind to the solutions. Cannot see afar off. Well, that's evident in the church today because there's a lot of people that don't see afar off in the sense that they aren't looking at even the Bible says. In the church today, a lot of people don't believe in prophecy. They're ignoring prophecy, or they're even saying it's dangerous. You shouldn't even study prophecy. Well, when you look at the Scripture and you become more Christ-like, one of the things that God teaches you is the importance of sharing the gospel, that none perish but all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Why? Because there's coming a day of judgment. And that day is drawing closer. And it's evidence of it all around is showing up. The physical things that are happening in the earth, the political things, the religious things. We see all of these things are pointing to the last days and that Jesus could return at any time. We just sang the hymn earlier. The King is coming. Do we really believe the King is coming? Or aren't we looking afar off? We're not looking to that day and understanding every day we live, we're one day closer. And we need to help people prepare so they're prepared for His coming. They're prepared to face Him because they will be His and not stand in opposition to Him. And we see also that it says that they cannot see afar off and have forgotten that He was purged from His old sins. And the third thing that you see happen is they take a lackadaisical attitude towards godly living, and they approach that it doesn't matter as long as I'm saved, as long as I receive Jesus, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do, because God will forgive me. Well, that's true. God will forgive us for our sins. He forgives Christians when we stumble and fall. But does that mean we should go out and attempt to stumble and fall? That is what he's saying here. When you take your eyes off of becoming more like Jesus and growing in your godly character and seeking to be used by Christ to bear fruit, not be barren, to be useful, when you do that, what happens is you begin to turn your back on what real sin is and how wicked and deceitful and vile sin is and what abomination it is to the Lord, and you take it lightly. And so there's three grave things that he says happen to the one who doesn't seek to do these things. And then he goes on and he tells us, wherefore? Now, why is wherefore, therefore? It says, wherefore, the rather than have that happen, rather than as we just saw, rather than have a lack of things, rather than be blind, rather than be useless, rather than forgetting what why we were called to godliness and holiness, rather than forgetting about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, rather than forgetting all of those things, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Give diligence. Again, the concept of diligence. Why does he emphasize diligence so much? Because it's so easy to get caught up in the things, everyday life in this world, and get caught up in the things of the world that we can forget about what is really important. And so we need to be diligent. Keep our eyes on the Lord and keep seeking to be used by Him and be drawn closer to Him. Why? To make sure your calling and election are sure. Why did he put that in there? Can we lose our salvation? No. If you're a believer, you receive Jesus, and receive the gift of salvation, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. It's forgiven. You can't lose your salvation. So what's he talking about? Well, there's those that come into the church, and they think they're saved, but they're not really saved. And they really haven't had a desire for godliness and the things of the Lord, but they want to play politics in the church, or they want to have a social activity in the church, or they want to feel the good fuzzies that they can feel when they come to church. And he says, you need to make your election sure. Are you a believer? Because if you have no desire for the things that I have just shared with you in the previous paragraphs, you have no longing to be more like Christ. You have no longing for godliness. You have no love in your heart for the unsaved. You have no love for your fellow believers. You don't want to spend any time with them, but you just want to be there for a social activity, or you want to be there for whatever. Are you really saved? You need to make your election and salvation sure. Because if you're blind and you can't see and you have no desire, then are you really saved? For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. He's saying, for if you live this life, you become more Christ-like in your character. And you won't fall, because you'll be drawn closer to Jesus every day. And so he's giving some pretty stern warnings. And then he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, in conclusion, if you've listened to what I've said, if you diligently seek the Lord, diligently as a believer in Christ, abundant life is yours eternally. Why? Because you will when you stand before the bema seat of Christ, and Christ shows the opportunities he's laid before you for ministry. And some of them you may not have even realized and thought they really aren't opportunities, but they were. He placed you in people's lives to be a light to them and to share the gospel with them. And if you've taken advantage of that, maybe you didn't have the opportunity to lead them to Christ, but Jesus paid you there to plant a seed. Or he placed you there to water. Or maybe he did place you there to lead that person to the Lord. But in doing all of that and being diligent and faithful and seeking to do what God had called you to do in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, you in turn will be able to receive abundantly when the Lord comes and calls you home or returns for his church. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this. Help us to apply these truths to our life. And Lord, help us to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus. Help them to see in us a zeal and a hunger for you. May they see in our lives a growth in godly character. And Lord, when we gather a year from now and we examine what happened this last year, may we see growth in our lives. May we see more Christ-like character in our character. And Lord, may we be reflecting you and bringing glory to your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.